Morning. Today's daf im sachem tzadi vav. We're in the very bottom of tzadi hamid beis. We are wrapping up here the ninth parak of the masechta. A couple more days to go. We are going to. We're obviously talking about the Karban Pesach, but tomorrow, we're going to start going a little bit heavier into kachim, and that'll be true until we conclude the parak. Parak concludes on tzadi tes, tzadi tes amid aleph. And then, obviously, Tzadi Testament Base, we are going to be starting the 10th parak of the Masechta, and we get to the Leil HaSeder. In the meantime, however, we are coming off of a Mishnah. Mishnah on Tzadi Hamid Beis describes where the Pesach is coming in a state of Tumah, meaning the majority of the Jewish people are Tumah Meis, and so it affords the opportunity to offer the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. So the Mishnah told us that not everybody who's Tumah is going to be able to partake of the Karban Pesach, notably. The only ones who can partake of Karban Pesach and Pesach Rishon is going to be those who are Tamei Meis. Those who are Ezav, Ezava, Nida, Yolades. So, they're not going to be able to partake of Pesach Rishon. However, says the Mishnah, if they do eat, from Pesach Rishon, so they're not going to receive Kares. So, not, on one hand, not allowed. On the other hand, not going to be subject to the same degree of Onish. And the reason why is because there's a Heter. There's a heter out there, and once the heter is out there, so the heter is going to extend to others as well. And again, as I pointed out yesterday, that's not a perfect way to describe it, because the heter is not extended to them. But at least the onish has been removed, and so that if they eat from the Karban Pesach, they're not going to be subject to kares. Generally speaking, somebody's tamei and eats carbon, that's a kares, that's a kares-bearing onish. But under these circumstances, the kares is going to be lifted. And then in the Mishnah, we also saw the Shita Rebbe Eliezer, who says that you're not going to receive kares for even going into the Beis HaMikdash. Good. Yesterday, we dealt with the first question of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, let's say that there was a Pesach Chaba B'Toma, and not only were the Tumim going into the Azar, they were even going to the Heichal as well. Is the once the allowance is given to go into the Azar, can you go into the Heichal as well? That was a question that we asked yesterday. The Gemara gave two versions to that answer. By Rav Yosef, we are now picking up right where we left off yesterday. This is the second question of Rav Yosef, and it basically is going to be the same model type question, which is basically, once there's a heter, how far does the heter extend? So by Rav Yosef, dachlu tamei mesim achlu imurei Pesach haba b'toma. So let's say again, it's Pesach haba b'toma. Those people who are tamei are going to now be able to eat the Karban Pesach. And not only do they eat the Karban Pesach, but they also eat the imurim as well. Now that's really strange. The imurim, of course, are the parts of the carbon that go up onto the mizbeach. Rashi over here describes klayos yoser sakavet. Also, there's chaylev as well. Anyway, there are parts, the internal parts of the organ, klayos are the kidneys, yoser sakavet, probably the diaphragm. Parts of the carbon that go up onto the mizbeach need to be burnt onto the mizbeach. That's the chelko shel mizbeach of every carbon. And so, as we're going to learn in just a moment, somebody who's tamei and eats the imurim, we could take a step backwards. Even if you're not tamei, so you have no business eating the imurim obviously are designated earmarked to go on the top of the mizbeach and be burnt on the top of the mizbeach. It is the, it's so to say, it's the lechem ha-mizbeach. So it's a consumable part of the mizbeach. So the truth of the matter is that really we have no business eating it in general, but that's not the Gemara's question. Gemara's question is somebody who's Tamei Meis, and it's a Pesach Chaba B'Toma, and given allowance now to eat the carbon while in a state of Toma, let's say they eat the Imurim as well. As we're going to learn in just a moment, under normal circumstances, somebody Tamei eating carbon and even the Imurim is subject to Kares. So the question over here is such an individual going to be subject to Kares? Again, the question is not whether or not you could do it. Of course you can't do it. The only question is it going to carry with it the onus of Kares? Mahu. So as we now turn to the top of Tzadi Vav Amid Aleph, me Dishtari Tumas Basar, Yishtari Nami, Tumas Imurim. Once there's a heter of Tumas Basar, so there's also going to be a heter of Tumas Imurim. O Dilma, my Dishtari Yishtari, my Dilo Yishtari, Lo Yishtari. Or the simple way to look at it is no, the heter is only for the meat of the Karban Pesach, but not for the Imurim. So the Gemara opens up this question. I'm a Rava Michti Tumas Imurim Eches Rambe, me Tumas Basar. So Rava says the answer is actually pretty clear. Because how do we know that there is an Isser for a Tamei to eat the Imurim Actually, the drasha generates it from the same pasuk that teaches us about the basta. The pasuk says Eshel Hashem, and the Gemara here only quotes a short excerpt of the pasuk. Rashi over here quotes more of it. You can see the fourth line down in Rashi. So somebody who's tamei and eats basar mizevach shlamim. So that obviously is a reference to the meat. But then when it says asher l'Hashem, that's a ribui. Asher l'Hashem l'rabos, it's the imurim. It's coming to include the imurim. So kol heichad isel l'tumas basar isel l'tumas imurim. Kol heichad leisel l'tumas basar leisel l'tumas imurim. So vis-a-vis this iser of tumas kachim. So whenever there is going to be an Isser of Tumas Kachim on the Basar, it's going to extend to the Imurim. But if there's no Isser of Tumas Kachim as it relates to the Basar, so then obviously it doesn't extend to the Imurim. The Imurim is just simply an offshoot of the Basar as it relates to this particular Isser. Okay, so the Gemara over here asks the question, answers the question very, very clearly. There would not be an Isser Kares for a tummy person to eat the Imurim while the Karban Pesach is being brought in a state of tuma. By Rabbi Zera, one more question before we get to the next Mishnah. Imuri Pesach Mitzrayim, Hecha Akterinu. Now the question over here is a little bit of a non sequitur. Obviously, there must be connection in terms of why the Gemara asks it specifically over here. But, Pesach Mitzrayim, it was a historical event, a one-time event. And, so we shechted the Karban. What did we do? We took the blood, we sprinkled it on the doorpost and on the lentil. Now there's the Imurim. What do we do with the Imurim? So, Imuri Pesach Mitzrayim Hecha Akterinu. Question becomes, where do we do the Haktara of the Imurim of Pesach Mitzrayim? There was no Mizbeach, there was no Karban. Sorry. There was no Mizbeach. So, Amalei Abai, Uman Lemalan Delo Shavisku Avon. So the Gemara says, okay, well, we could have just simply burned it, meaning it's certainly within the capability of burning it without a Mizbeach. Generally speaking, it's burnt on the top of the Mizbech, but the Gemara just simply assumes, okay, so we just burnt it. V'oda Tana Rav Yosef. And then the Gemara says, really interesting statement over here, Rav Yosef teaches us, Gimel Mizbechos Hayusham. In Mitzrayim, for Pesach Mitzrayim, we had three Mizbechs. Now, out of context, it's really difficult to understand. What does that mean? We have three Mizbechs outside of, for Pesach Mitzrayim. What in the world is that talking about? We had zero Mizbechs, but the Gemara says, you just have to look at things a little bit differently. Alamashka v'ashtea mezuzos. V'suri mirechrin alohava. So the Gemara says, so here's what we had. We had the mashka v'ashtea mezuzos. Again, going through the psukim in Parshas Bo, so you know that the blood of the Karban Pesach was sprinkled. Alamashka v'ashtea mezuzos. So it's on the lintel. It's on the two side posts of the door. So the Gemara over here says that basically what we're going to do is they're going to look at that as our Mizbeach. Meaning for that year, for Pesach Mitzrayim, so some 3,300 years ago, so that was a Mizbech. In fact, the Gemara over here, really interesting, separates into three different Mizbechos. So obviously the Gemara over here is laden with meaning, but the idea over here is that is going to be substituting the Mizbech for that year. We didn't have a Mizbech, so the lentil, the doorpost served as a Mizbech. Also, an interesting Rashi over here, Rashi says, good. So we had pseudo mizbechs in Pesach Mitzrayim, and that of course was a lentil in the two doorposts. Rashi writes over here, last Rashi before we get to the new Mishnah, lehazas adam. So yes, it was a mizbech for the sprinkling. Aval lahaktaris imorim lo hayisham mizbech. But not for the haktaris imorim. If you think about it, really the mizbech has two functions as it relates to a carbon. One is that after the shechitas carbon and after the kabal sadam, so you sprinkle the blood on the mizbech. And as we know, that's the key component of kapara. The kapara is achieved when you do the zrikas adam. So vis-a-vis that aspect of the mizbeach, so in Pesach Mitzrayim we had it. The pseudo mizbeach that we had came in the form of the doorpost and the lentil. But as far as the haktaris imurim, burning the imurim on the top of the mizbeach, which by the way, as we pointed out numerous times in Seder Kachim, that's not ma'akev, meaning it's certainly a mitzvah to burn the imurim on the mizbech. But that's not what's providing kapara. That's not the element of kapara. But nevertheless, it's a component of the mizbech. You take the imurim, you burn it on top of the mizbech. So vis-a-vis that, so we didn't have a substitute. Meaning in Pesach Mitzrayim, just simply didn't have it. The Gemara says, yeah, we might have burned the imurim, but in terms of putting on the mizbech, we had nothing. We certainly didn't have a mizbech, and we didn't have a pseudo mizbech as well in terms of the mitzvah of haktaras imurim. Good. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, Yivavim and Aleph, Ma bein Pesach Mitzrayim le Pesach Dara. So, Parenthetically, by the way, hopefully you're wondering, the Gemara's question over here, about what they did in Mitzrayim. So what the Gemara did not ask, which is a traditional question. Whenever you have these historical halachic phenomena, what the Gemara did not ask is that's my dehava hava. Right, it was a historical event, and it doesn't bear on halacha ma'isa. Meaning, Pesach Mitzrayim happened historically one time, and obviously, after the Torah was given, the Hakravas Karban Pesach is going to take on a whole new format. And the Gemara over here is investigating what do we do in Mitzrayim. And yes, it's certainly interesting that the Gemara over here doesn't wonder like why is it important to us? Meaning, it's important, but why is it important to us? And generally speaking, the Gemara is focused on only things that are halach lamaisa. I mean, halach lamaisa, if we had a base of mikdash, but still, halach lamaisa. So the Gemara didn't ask the question of my dahava hava. That certainly is interesting. How come the Gemara didn't do so? But it definitely segues us into the Mishnah, as we start the next Mishnah. So the Gemara now is going to do a lot of comparisons between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. So in Pesach Mitzrayim, so we already pointed out, we highlighted a unique aspect of Pesach Mitzrayim in that there was no Mizbeach. What other differences exist between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros? So the Gemara highlights a couple of differences. Pesach Mitzrayim mecha be'asar, mi be'asor. So for Pesach Mitzrayim, so we already made a purchase and a designation of the carbon on the 10th day of the month. It's a pasuk in Parshas Bo. V'tar nazav ba'gur se'zov. V'al ha'mashko v'al shem ezizos. And on top of that, with the blood, you're going to dip the blood with agur se'zov. Okay, translated in English as hyssop. Doesn't help me, but still. And then what you do is then that you're going to sprinkle it onto the lentil, onto the door, two doorposts. So, and on top of that also, it's going to be eaten quickly, one night. And as far as Pesach Doros is concerned, so that is applicable for us all 7 days. The end of the Mishnah is nearly impossible to understand because Pesach Mitzrayim is no all 7 days. Of course, that's not true. Pesach Doros is applicable only the first night, just like Pesach Mitzrayim. So obviously, in just a moment, we're going to get to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to really help us understand what exactly happened at the end of the Mishnah. But before that point in time, however, just basic points the Mishnah makes is that you have some new unique features regarding Pesach Mitzrayim. Number one, the purchase of Pesach Mitzrayim and the designation of the carbon, which is done on the 10th day of the month. And yes, we have much discussed in the Mefarshim on Chumash in terms of what the significance of that was, tying it to the bed and its relationship to Shabbos Hagadol and much to discuss, but the Gemara is not going to spend time with it, so we're not going to spend time with it. But I understand that there's a lot of significance in terms of the acquisition of the carbon on the 10th day of Nisan. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara focuses on the following Menal and Dichsiv. What's the source of this? The pasuk says, "Dabru el kol adas yishol leimor basur lechodesh hazeh viyichu." So we're focusing on the word "zeh," meaning "hazeh" means to tell me that this carbon. Obviously, the pesukim over here is describing Pesach Mitzrayim. This carbon is going to be unique and specific to Pesach Mitzrayim, and is not going to be duplicated for future generations. And so, what we seem to be focusing on right now is basur lechodesh hazeh. The 10th day of this particular month, meaning that whenever we're going to do Mitzrayim in the future, it's not going to be on the 10th day of the month. So, Zeh Mechol Me'asar, Ve'in Pesach Doros Mechol Me'asar. Good. So, that's a drasha based on the fact that the Psukim and Parsha is supposed to say the word Hazeh. Ela Me'ata Ve'ayelachem Le'mishmer Sa'ad Arba'a Asar Yom L'chodesh Hazeh. So, the Gemara says, okay, wait 1 second. So, you want to tell me that every time you see the word Hazeh, it's coming to highlight that this is a unique feature specific to Pesach Mitzrayim and not to be duplicated for future generations. The Gemara says, I simply don't think it's true. Consider the following. It says that it's going to be a Shmira, so until the 14th, L'chodesh Hazeh, in this month. So, Achinam Izeh Tom Bikur Dal Yamim Kodesh Chita Ve'in Acher Tom Bikur. So you mean to tell me that Shmira means that we have to do a Bikur, we have to do an examination of the animal. As we're going to learn in just a moment, the 4-day examination of the animal, including the day in which you acquired it. So the Gemara says, you're telling me that that's something specific to Pesach Mitzrayim? It's not true. V'hatanya, the Gemara says, consider the following b'risa ben Bagba Gomer, minayin l'tami shetamim bikur dal yamim, kodim shechita. How do I know that the Talmud, daily carbon, has an examination requirement of 4 days? Shenemar Tishmur Lakriv Lebamodol Halan Omer Vayelachem Lemishmeres Ad Arba Asar Mal Halan Taun Bikur Dalad Yamim Kodem Shchita Afkan Taun Bikur Dalad Yamim Kodem Shchita. So we have a drasha, a connection, a gzereshava connecting the daily tamid offering and that of the Karm Pesach. And it says that just like by Karm Pesach in Mitzrayim there was a 4-day examination, so too the tamid is going to have a 4-day examination. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Didn't we have the word hazer? And doesn't it tell us that this is halacha that only applies to Pesach Mitzrayim? So the Gemara says, Shani Asim Dichsev Tishmaru. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have the word Tishmaru as it relates to the tamid, which tells us that this is going to be something that is going to extend even to the Karban Tamid. Pesach Doros Nami Haksiv Va'avarata Savoda Hazos B'chodesh Hazer Shiyukol Avodos Chodesh Zeh Kazer. So the Gemara says, okay, and on top of that, Karban Pesach also needs a 4-day examination. The Pasuk says that you're going to do the Avoda in this month and that all the Avodas that are done with the Pesach Doros should mimic and look like Pesach Mitzrayim, which means that you also need a 4-day examination as well. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're doing right now is we're trying to untangle which aspects of the Karban Doros is to be patterned and followed after Pesach Mitzrayim and which ones are not. So right now, the only thing that we have localized to Pesach Mitzrayim is the idea that its purchase and designation has to occur on the 10th day. But right now we're saying that as far as Bikur is concerned, examination must be done for 4 days. Now, by the way, it took me a while to untangle these two points because they're not the same point. Meaning the fact that it has to be purchased and designated on the 10th day has nothing to do with Bikur, has nothing to do with examination. Consider, examination can be done even if you're not makdish it as a Karban Pesach. You can do examination by an animal, you just simply have to make sure that's not blemished. These two points are not the same point. So what the Gemara now has just told us that the purchase and identification of the Karban for Mitzrayim had to have been done on the 10th, but for future generations, you could do it on the 11th, on the 12th, on the 13th. As far as examination is concerned, a 4-day examination, that has to be done for all Karbanos, even future Karbanos as well. So the Gemara says, okay, but Elahu Azer Lemute Pesach Sheni, the Kavasei. So the Gemara says, as far as what does not require the 4-day examination, meaning because we did have the word Hazer, so that's talking about Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni does not need the 4-day examination, not like Pesach Rishon. That's what's excluded. Elamiata, the Gemara says, okay, let's continue. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, V'achlus Abasa Balayla Hazer Achanami. Dezenecha Balayla Ve'inachinecha Balayla. So the Gemara says, now, we also have another word, hazeh, in the Pesukim and Parshas Bo, specific to the point that you're going to be eating Pesach Mitzrayim that night. And again, the word, the Pesuk says the word hazeh, this night to the exclusion of other nights. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. Don't we have, isn't there this idea that for all Karban Pesach, for all future generations, you're going to have the night to eat it? So there, what's the exclusivity that exists by Pesach Mitzrayim? So So the Gemara says, okay, so clearly we know that the halach is that you have one night to eat the Karban Pesach, and that's not exclusive to Pesach Mitzrayim. What do we do with the word hazeh in Parshas Bo? So the Gemara says, no, that's teaching us the duration of eating the Karban Pesach. How much time do you have to eat the Karban Pesach? Machlokas, we're going to see it later in the Masechta. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, you have till Chatzos. According to Rabbi Kiva, you have the whole night. That is going to be darshan from this pasuk. And okay, and how the two Tanaim darshan it, we'll see later in the Masechta. Anyway, that's what we're doing with the word hazeh. Elamiata dechsiv echol arel lo yochabo hachanami deboin ochel ava ochel bepesach daros. So now we're just moving. We're staying on the same point. We're just moving off the word hazeh. And now we're heading on to the word bo. The word bo is certainly a miut. It certainly minimizes. Chol ara lo yochabo. An uncircumcised can't eat this, meaning Pesach Mitzrayim. And again, an inference would indicate that that's true by Pesach Mitzrayim. That's not true for Pesach Doros. But we know, of course, that that's not true. Meaning Pesach Doros, of course you have to have a bris milah. So amakra va'avarata. So the Gemara says, yeah, but va'avarata tells us that Pesach Doros is going to mimic Pesach Mitzrayim. Ela bo lamali. So the Gemara says, what are we going to do with the word bo over here? Bo in ochel aval ochel b'matzah marah. An arel can't eat Karban Pesach, but an arel can eat matzah marah. And you could have thought, you could have made an argument that once you are banned and restricted from Karban Pesach, you're also going to be restricted from matzah marah. And the Chiddush is no. The Torah tells us that they are going to be separated regarding the arel. Ariel is allowed to eat matzah mara. So alamiata ben nechar lo yochal bo. Okay, and again, same question, and basically going to be the same answer, but here we're talking about en ben nechar. Ben nechar is somebody who is hashkafically off the reservation. He was a mum. Not exactly a mum. But anyway, he was a kofer. So he also is going to be restricted from eating Karm Pesach. So the benecho lo yechabal. So hachanami deboin ocha va'ochu Pesach l'daros. And again, the Gemara says, what does that mean? So that mean also now that his restriction is only from Pesach Mitzrayim, but not from Pesach Daros. Samar krav va'avadata. And again, the Gemara says, of course, that's not true because the pasuk says va'avadata. So ela bo lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do we now? What are we getting out from the word bow? Bow hamaras das poselos, vein hamaras das poselos, bitruma. So the Gemara says, yeah, there is an exclusion, but the exclusion is that somebody who is hashkafically off the reservation, so he can't eat Karm Pesach, but what he can do is he can eat truma. Okay, it's a, in terms of svar, in terms of just thinking it out loud, it's hard to understand. Meaning, yes, I understand the significance of Pesach Mitzrayim, but, or the Karm Pesach in general. But the idea that you have somebody who is a kofar, really a denier of Torah, of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and such an individual, and obviously he's a Kohen, by the way, and you're gonna say, oh no, it's okay, you can eat truma, right? Even though truma is kedusha, you can eat truma. Karm Pesach, oh no, that you can't partake of, but truma you're allowed to. It's hard to articulate what the svara would be, but that the Gemara says, but that's the halacha, that's the drasha. Ve'itzurich lemichta varo, ve'itzurich lemichta benecha. And the Gemara says now, basically what we've done is that we have a drasha regarding Arel, we have it also regarding Ben Echar. The E kasa rechmana Arel mishum demais. Now, Arel physically repugnant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ava Ben Echar lo mais, but Ben Echar, although hashkafically in terms of his amun, in terms of his hashkafas, he's off base, but at least he's not physically repugnant. So, aim alo, tzricha, v'i hashmina Ben Echar mishum de'ein libo l'shamayim. And we could also go in the other direction, which is the Ben Echar. So that's somebody who is not with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ava Arel de Libo L'Shamayim Emelo. But when it comes to the Arel, Libo L'Shamayim, so I might have thought no, meaning I might have thought that he's not going to be as rejected. So Tzricha, that's why the Torah has to include both. This Gemara that we just went through together is really a strong proof to Rashi. Rashi throughout Shas, I've mentioned this numerous times, consistently whenever we talk about an Arel, so Rashi writes, you can count on it. He did it right here on this stuff as well. Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. The brothers died because of a bris milah. Let's say there was hemophilia in the family, and Rachmanis, the first boy died, second boy died. So the halach is you don't give the third boy a bris milah. So that's the and so our Gemara over here certainly seems to support it because our Gemara says that the Arul under discussion is somebody who is libo l'shamayim, right? He's a firm person. He's a mamin. He believes in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It just happens to be that he doesn't have a bris milah. But having nothing to do with a decision that he made or a decision that his parents made. It'd say that the fact that he's an RL is the correct thing. Okay, so this certainly supports Rashi. Elamiata, the Gemara says, Toshav Asachir lo yochal bo. So, okay, what about our Toshav Asachir? So Toshav Asachir lo yochal bo. So Toshav Asachir, Rashi says that we're talking about an Eved Ivri. And and Toshav Asachir, just two different types of Eved Ivri. Rashi over here goes through the differences between them. Toshav is somebody, is an Eved Ivri who went through Hartza'ah, he had his ear pierced, and therefore he's an Avadol Olam, the Toshav, meaning he's with you. And Sachir just simply means that he's only going to be with you for, you know, maximum of 6 years. Anyway. So, lo yochal bo. So, hachinami de bohu en ocha va ochu be pesach doros. And the Gemara says, and now what? And now, you're gonna be able to eat pesach doros. I'm a krav avarata. So the Gemara says, no, the pasuk says vavarata ela bo lamali. So, bo. So, I'm sorry, ela lamali bo. So what do we do with exclusion of bo? Amar's das posels. Vein amar's das posels betruma. So the Gemara says, once again, it's the idea that if a person's a mummer, so that will pass over regarding Karm Pesach, but not regarding Truma. So Ela me'ato malso, so az yochal bo. So the Gemara says, and then the pasuk goes on to say that once he has a bris milah, so now you can eat it. Hachinami debon ochal ava ochal be pesach doros. So the Gemara says, okay, now again the bo comes to tell me that if I have an uncircumcised baby in our house, so I can't eat Pesach Mitzrayim with the implication that I can't eat Pesach Doros, and again, so the Gemara says no, because we know that for the default position is that Pesach Doros is duplicating Pesach Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, it comes to teach me the following halacha. If you have somebody in your family who's uncircumcised, you can't partake of Pesach Mitzrayim, nor can you partake of Pesach Doros as well. As far as the word bo is concerned, if you have somebody uncircumcised in your family, you still can eat truma. Of course, we're talking about a kohen. You still can eat truma. Good. What about the word bo mentioned in the iser of a shvira setzim breaking bone? And again, same question. You want to tell me that you're allowed to break bones at Pesach Doros? It's not true. I'm a krav avadata. So ella bo lamali. So why do I have the word bo? Bo because of a little bit. So the bo comes to tell me that the Karban Pesach that is subject to the Isser of Shvir Setzem is only when the Karban Pesach is a kosher Karban Pesach. If it's a disqualified Karban Pesach, so it's not subject to the Isser. So Elam Me'atza Dechsev Atochlim Mimenu Na I Ata Ochel Ava Ata Ochel Na BePesach Doros. What about partially roasted? So the Torah says Atochlim Mimenu Na. The Mimenu also seems to indicate that only this carbon is subject to the isser of partial roasting. So amakra v'avarata. And again, the Gemara says, no, that can't be. We have the word v'avarata. So ella mimenu lamali lich de rabba amar av Yitzchak. So the mimenu over there is coming to teach us the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak. So that an arel is not allowed to partake of meiser. Okay. Let's go on. The Gemara starts off now. We are on the bottom of the Amar v'necha b'chipazon v'nalan damakra v'achaltam aso b'chipazon aso necha b'chipazon v'inachir necha b'chipazon. Okay, we have a drasha that tells us that only regarding Karban Pesach, that has to be in b'chipazon, but when it comes to Pesach Doros, so there is no, there's no requirement to eat it in haste. You can slow down, you can eat it. Okay, it's strange, and Tosfos alludes to it over here, second to last Tosfos on the Amud. It's strange that for all the other halachas that were, that seem to be unique about Pesach Mitzrayim, the Gemara immediately says, no, there's nothing unique about Pesach Mitzrayim as far as the carbon itself, since the Torah says that Pesach Doros has to replicate Pesach Mitzrayim. So anytime we have an opportunity to, what seems to be a drasha that says that it's a limited halacha to Pesach Mitzrayim, we end up applying it to some other area of halacha. But as far as Pesach Doros is concerned, so it's going to be a mimic. It has to follow Pesach Mitzrayim. And now the Gemara says, no, chipazon is something that's unique to Pesach Mitzrayim. It doesn't apply to Pesach Doros. Okay, why the Gemara over here just readily concedes this point, we know the point is accurate. The Mishnah told us that. But why doesn't the Gemara just simply do what it's done for the last half of the Namun? Okay, so it's not clear. Anyway, Pesach Doros Noi Kol Shiva. Okay, now we're up to the end of the Mishnah. After highlighting the differences that we have between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros, I'll just quickly recap. Number one, Pesach Mitzrayim, you have to purchase and assign it on the 10th day of Nisan. Pesach Mitzrayim has to be sprinkled on the lentil on the side post. And Pesach Mitzrayim has to be eaten in haste. So those are the three features of Pesach Mitzrayim that you do not have for Pesach Doros. And now the Gemara wants to look at the end of the Mishnah, because the end of the Mishnah is nearly impossible to understand. The end of the Mishnah says that Pesach Doros is Noi Kol Shiva. What is that? What is that saying? So Pesach Doros Noi Kol Shiva. Amai, the Gemara says, it's really difficult to understand. Why should that be? Amai Kai. On what part of the Mishnah is going on? Ilei Ma Pesach, Pesach Kol Shiva Meika. Can't be talking about the Karban Pesach, because we know the Karban Pesach only applies to the Karban Pesach obviously is for one night. Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Doros. It's not talking about Pesach Doros being 7 days. Ela Chametz. So as we turn to the top of the next Amud, obviously it's talking about Chametz. Michal de Pesach Mitzrayim, Laila Echa Vesulo. So the Gemara says, here's the problem. So it's going on Chametz. Obviously it's going on Chametz. But the Mishnah is making a point which is not correct, seemingly not correct. Now, of course, Pesach Doros, the Yisr Chametz is for 7 days. Right, that part's good. What about Pesach Mitzrayim? So there was an Yisr Chametz in Pesach Mitzrayim for what? Now, from a simple reading of the Mishnah, it would seem to indicate that it would only be for one night. Necha b'chipazon b'layla echad. And now we're saying it's going on Chametz. So the Yisr Chametz in Pesach Mitzrayim was for one night. But the Gemara points out, but it's just not true. V'atanya Rebbe Yosef Gluli Omer Minayin LePesach Mitzrayim She'in Chimutzu Noeg Ela Yom Echad. So here now in the Braisa it says that the Yisr Chametz in Mitzrayim was for one day. Tamalomer Lo Ye'achel Chametz B'samach Le'a Yom Atam Yotzim. So that's a drasha. So the Gemara says Ela Hachi Kamar Laila Echad V'hu Adin LePesach Doros. Okay, so what we're going to have to do now, obviously, is we're just going to read all this into the Mishnah. Meaning, we know all the conclusions, we just have to read it correctly into the Mishnah. So as far as Laila Echad is concerned, that's talking about the Karban Pesach. And Laila Echad is the time to eat Karban Pesach, and that's true for both Pesach Mitzrayim and for Pesach Doros. Good. Now, period in the Mishnah. Next point of the Mishnah. V'chi mutzo kol ayom, u'pesach Doros noi kol shiva. Now, as far as Yisr Chametz is concerned, so that's kol ayom. Now again, you go back to the Mishnah. You're not gonna find this in the Mishnah. We're really reading into the Mishnah. But again, we know what the information is. So now it's a question of just reading into the Mishnah, even though, quite frankly, it doesn't read well into the Mishnah. It's not an easy read in the Mishnah. But still, the idea is that now we transition to the topic of Chametz. So in Pesach Mitzrayim it's for one day, and for Pesach Doros it's going to be for 7 days. Okay, Adkan. It takes us up to the Mishnah on Sadi Vav Amid Beis, as now we begin the upcoming Mishnah. So as I mentioned, at the beginning of the daf today, so from here until the end of the Perek, so which is not that much more to go. It's 2 full days and then a little bit more after that. But from here until the end, now we're going to go deep into the world of Kachim, right? The Gemara's that we're going to be touching on right now, we're going to be dealing with Pesach, Shlamim, Temura. So just some of the most basic concepts, but it's basic, but it's going to be a deeper exploration into the world of Kachim. So everyone just hold on. Okay, before we start with the Mishnah, a brief word of introduction. Let me just explain the concept of Temura, the entire Masechta dedicated to it. The Torah in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, the end of Sefer Vayikra, tells us that what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to exchange one carbon for another carbon. Right? You have an animal, it's already designated as a carbon, and what you would like to do is that you would like to just simply de-sanctify, de-consecrate that animal, and move the Kedusha onto another animal. Right? No problem, no big deal, right? So the Torah says, no, it is a big deal. It's an Isra, it's a law in the Torah. And not only that, but the Torah goes on to say, the animal that you try to extract the Kedusha from, that remains Kadosh. And on top of that, not only that, but the Kedusha also is going to be imbued into the animal that you tried to transfer. V'ayahu, the Pasuk says, in the end of Bechukosai. V'ayahu usmura so yeh Kodesh. It, the original carbon, and the animal you attempted to exchange, they're gonna have Kedusha, and they're gonna have the same Kedusha. This is Temura. So on one hand, it's an issue in the Torah to affect Temura. On the other hand, it works, which is, by the way, why in the beginning of Masechta Temura, for about 2 to 3 blot of Gemara, the Gemara over there has a discussion that when the Torah tells you not to do something and you do it, is it going to have an effect, even though the Torah told you not to do it? Okay, so that was a big discussion in the beginning of Masechta Temura. In the meantime, however, that's the idea. So Amar Rabbi Yoshua Shamati. So Rabbi Yoshua says, here's what I heard. I heard from my Rebbeim, Shetmur's Pesach Kreva, Vetmur's Pesach and a Kreva, that a Tmur's Pesach can be offered, a Tmur's Pesach cannot be offered, Ve'en Lilafarish. So I know both statements are true, I just don't know how to draw the line between the two. I'm Rabbi Kiva, Ani Afarish, Rabbi Kiva says, okay, good, I'm here, I'll help. HaPesach Shenimtza Kodem Shchitas, HaPesach Yire Ad Sheyistaiv, V'yimakir V'yavi B'damav Shlamim. So Rabbi Kiva says, look, let's leave Temura out of the discussion for just a moment. Let's just talk about Stam, a regular Karban Pesach. And what happened is that I lost my original. Let's call it A. So I lost my A Karban. And now what I did is I got a replacement. And the Pesach Nimsa Kodem Shchitas a Pesach. So now I find, so I set aside A, I lost it. I designated B and I found A. If I find a korban shechitas a Pesach, so then yire ad sheyistai v'yimakar v'yavi b'demav shlamim. So here's what you're going to do now. That animal now has been rejected. It came face to face with its replacement. It now is rejected. And so as a result of that, so now you let it graze, get a blemish, sell it. The proceeds of the sale can go to shlamim. Meaning that this animal, although it's a rejected animal, the kedusha now becomes a transferable, and the kedusha now is going to become a shlamim. All this is true, v'chein temuraso. And the same thing is going to be true also regarding the temura as well, meaning that if I took this animal and tried to exchange it onto another karban, so that now, what are we at? A third animal? So that animal now is going to have the same kedusha as the bee animal. And therefore, just like the bee animal now, its kedusha can be transferred. You could redeem, well, you first have to wait till it develops a blemish, then redeem it, and the money can be used for a shlamim, and the same thing is going to be true regarding a temura that you effected. Acher shechitas haPesach. So let's say I find the A animal after I shechted the B animal. So again, set aside the A animal, lost it. Brought a replacement B animal, offered the B animal, and then and only then, well, I'll be more careful about the reading of the Mishnah. And I shechted the B animal, and then I found the A animal. So karv shlamim v'chein temuraso. So there, the animal itself could be offered as a shlamim, and the same thing is going to be true regarding a temura. So that means to say that now, this animal falls under the category of what's called mosar pesach, a surplus of karban pesach. We know the halacha is that mosar pesach, any surplus karban pesach, is going to be transitioned into a shlamim. So over here, this falls under the category of Moser Pesach. And not only is this animal going to be Moser Pesach, but if I then were to try to affect Temura from this animal to another animal, so then that animal also is going to have the same status of being Moser Pesach. Okay. Now, after going through what is a complicated Mishnah, so the Gemara asks really the right question. I mean, there are a lot of questions you can ask, but that is that the point the Mishnah was trying to make really has nothing to do with Temura. It has to do with the fact of rejection of a Karban Pesach. Meaning, we set aside a Karban Pesach, we lost it, we replaced it, we found the original, we found the A. So when does it become rejected and when does it not become rejected? That's really the point of the Mishnah. The Temura aspect of the Mishnah definitely confuses us a little bit and seems to be unnecessary. It seems to be not the main point of the Mishnah. That's the Gemara's question. V'lema Pesach Krav u'Pesach Eino Krav. How about say the following? Sometimes a Karban Pesach is offered, sometimes it's not offered. Meaning, in the event that I lost my A Karban, I replaced it with a B, sometimes the A itself is going to be rejected, cannot be offered. And again, you have to go through the process of develop a blemish, transfer the Kedusha onto another animal, offer that other animal as a Shlamim. And sometimes the A animal could just simply be offered as a Shlamim, period. Why doesn't the Mishnah just address that? Leave Temura out of the discussion. Hakamash Malan, Dika Temur Sapesach Delo Krava. So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, that really is the main point of the Mishnah, but the Mishnah also is giving us supplemental information, right? A bonus. And that is that the Temur Pesach, there are going to be times when the Temur Pesach is just simply not going to be offered, like we just described in the aforementioned scenario of our Mishnah. Itmar. Okay. Now, the Gemara's discussion over here is going to revolve around critical moments, meaning that we know in our Mishnah there is a critical moment. If I found my A animal before, just the simple reading of the Mishnah, before the shechita of my B, and that means that my A and B were now face to face, so that is a rejection of A, that's what's called dichui, and that's why the A animal cannot be offered. If I affected temur with that A animal, that temur animal also cannot be offered, etc., etc. So the Gemara now wants to know, what is going to be the critical point? Now, it's a funny question because you read the Mishnah seems to be really clear. So the Mishnah talks about shechitas karban pesach mean the critical point. So itmar, Rabbi Amar Kodem Shechita, Lachar Shechita Shaninu. So Rabbi says, good, that's our Mishnah, and that's correct. Meaning that the critical points are going to be Kodem Shechita and Lachar Shechita. And Rabbi Zera Amar Kodem Chatzos, Lachar Chatzos Shaninu. And Rabbi Zera says, no, the critical moment is not going to be the shechitas karban, but rather it's going to be Chatzos. In other words, as long as now you are in a time that it's roi to bring the Karban Pesach, so that's going to be now the critical moment. Which means that now, according to Rabbi Zera, If I found my A animal after Chatzos, already that created dichui. Okay, so Ula Rebbe Zera Hakatani Kodem Shechitas HaPesach. So the Gemara says, now according to Rebbe Zera, how do you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah really reads simply like Rabbah. So Ema Kodem Zman Shechitas HaPesach. So the Gemara says, yeah, okay, good. You can read the Mishnah. In other words, even though the Mishnah says Kodem Shechitas HaPesach, we can understand that it doesn't mean the actual shechting. It means as long as it's the time that you could shecht. That's how you read the Mishnah according to Rebbe Zera. Kid Tanai, the Gemara points out, there's machlokas Tanai. A Pesach Shinim, Sekorim Shchita, Yir Elachar, Shchita Yikrav. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Korim Chatzos, Yir Elachar, Chatzos, Yikrav. So the Gemara says, okay, we have, in this Braisa, two opinions in terms of when is critical moment. Is the critical moment going to be when you find A before Shchita, or is the critical moment going to be when you find A, before Chatzos, or versus after Chatzos? Good. Gemara's discussion goes as follows. We said in our Mishnah, let's read the Mishnah Kipshuta, let's read it like Rabbah, that the significant moment is going to be Shechitas Pesach. And if I find my A animal after I shechted the B animal, so the A animal was not rejected, and therefore the animal itself can be offered as a Shlamim. It's Mostar Pesach, and therefore can be offered as a Shlamim. If, however, I find the A animal before I shechted the B animal, so then what we're looking at over here is rejection. And therefore, it cannot be offered as a carbon. Good. So now the Gemara is going to be focusing on not only this halacha that we just went over, but the tamura as well. So, as far as the tamura is concerned, and the tamura having the same degree of kedusha as my rejected animal, that's only true if nimsa achar shchita, I find it after shchita, and hamer bo achar shchita, and the tamura has also been affected achar shchita. Aval nimsa kodem shchita vehamer bo achar shchita. So but let's say I found my animal before shchita, which means that the animal was rejected, but I did the tamura after the shchita. Okay, so I know there's a lot to think about over here, and I know this is challenging. But the idea over here is as follows. Because I found my animal before the shechita, so that means the animal was rejected. Fine. Then what we did is that we shechted the bee, and after the shechita, then we affected tamura with that A animal. So what the Gemara is now trying to entertain is this idea that, well, maybe because I affected the tamura animal after shechita, so maybe the tamura is not going to be rejected. Rev is here to tell us, no, that's not true. It's not correct. But rather, the tamura animal is going to be rejected as well. Why? So if you think about it, it really makes sense. So, achar shechita tamura mikol kedusha dechuya ka'asa velo karva. Even though the tamura was done after shechita, but consider, the A animal is rejected. When you're effecting tamura, what you're doing is that you're replicating whatever the source animal is. In this case, the source animal is the rejected animal. Therefore, the tamura that's being affected is going to be a rejected tamura. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So this is now a halacha that's said over by Rava, and we just went over that. Really, if you think about it, it sounds reasonable. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that we have a drasha. Eisvei abayim kesev ma tam lomar im kesev l'rabos tamura sapesach achar pesach shekarv shlamim. So you have tomorrow's Pesach, Acher Pesach, that is going to be offered as a Shlamim. Good. Now, Hechidami. Good. So the Drasha, by the way, the Pasuk is in the third Perek of Yikra, having nothing to do with Karban Pesach. The Drasha seems to be just shooting in a direction that we would not have seen coming. Anyway, but that's not the point. The point is that the Drasha is that the tomorrow's Pesach is offered as a Shlamim. Now, Hechidami, the Gemara says, now let's try to wrap our head around what the point the Braisa is that we just learned together. So the Gemara says, now, if the A animal was found after Shechita, and the tumor was done after Shechita, so do I really need a drasha to teach me that point? Meaning, isn't it obvious? Now, I know you and I can argue, none of this is obvious. But once you have the basics of tamura down, so really, what just happened over here? The A animal was found after shechita, which means that the A animal never experienced dichui, never experienced rejection. And now I affect Temura with said animal. That's now my source animal of Temura. And I affect the Temura. So look, what's the Temura now? The Temura now is Moser Pesach, which is offered as a Shlamin. If that's all the Bryce is teaching me, the Gemara says, I think it's pretty rudimentary. I don't need a Bryce to teach that. Lama likra. Alalav, she named Tekorim Shechita, Vehemer Bo'acha Shechita. So the Gemara says, what I think we want to do now is that we want to inject a Chiddush into the Bryce. Now the Chiddush would seemingly be that the A animal was found before Shechita and the Temura was affected after Shechita. And that's what the Bryce is coming to say. And if that's true, the Bryce is saying now that my Temura animal has the status of Moser Pesach. But what it's also saying is that Rav is wrong. Meaning Rav said that in such a situation, since a source animal was rejected, the Temura animal is also going to be rejected. That was Rav's argument. And now what we're trying to say is Pshat in the Bryce is not that way. So Allah, the Gemara says, no, you don't have to say that. So the Gemara says, no, it could very well be that the case under discussion is going to be where the A animal was found after Shechita, which means that it wasn't rejected. The Temur also obviously now has occurred after Shechita. And the idea that, okay, it's so Pashan and I need a Pasuk. So the Gemara says, okay. Ukras machta ba'ama. So the Gemara says that, look, the Pasuk over there is not really generating the halacha. And it kind of touches on the point that I made just moments earlier. There's really nothing in that Pasuk that seems to indicate that we're talking about the Karban Pesach and furthermore, and the Temur of a Karban Pesach. So the Pasuk is just simply an asmachta. The Chachamim enjoyed attaching halachas to Pesukim in the Torah, right? It was something that spoke to them. So the Gemara says, Ela kra lamai asa. Now, by the way, over here, asmachta, I'll make the point really quickly. Asmachta over here, not like what we traditionally say. Asmachta usually means it's a din derabanan attached to a pasuk in the Torah. Over here, asmachta is a din deraisa, but just the chachamim wanted to connect it to a pasuk in the Torah. Of course it's a din deraisa. We're looking at over here at Temura, Moser Pesach, meaning these are all halachas min haTorah. It just, the Chachamim, even though we don't have a source for this, but the Chachamim want to attach it to a Pasuk. Ela kri lamai asa. So the Gemara says, okay. So that Pasuk that we just cited is not coming to teach me about Temur's Pesach, which is Nikrav as a Shlamim. So, but it's got to be teaching me something. So the Gemara says, yeah. Kiditanya Kesef la'abos, it's a Pesach la'alya. So, the Kesef, the Torah, going through the basics regarding a shlamin coming from a sheep, and that is that the tail of the Karban Pesach is going to be put up onto the Mizbech. Kishu Amar im kesef rabos Pesach shavra shnaso ushlamin mabay machmas Pesach lechol mitzvah shlamin shetan smicha nesachem etnufa chaz veshok. It's coming to tell me that if you have a Karban Pesach where avra shnaso, it got too old, it's over a year. And any shlamim that comes as a result of the Karban Pesach, meaning surplus. So as far as now offering it as a Karban Shlamim is concerned, so now it takes on the full identity of a Karban Shlamim. You have to do smicha, put your hands on it, nesachim, tenufa, chazav v'shok, everything that does not apply to a Karban Pesach. But now that this Karban Pesach has transitioned into a shlamim, so therefore, it takes on all the halachas of a shlamim. Now, the goat, the tail of the goat, does not have to go up onto the mizbeach. Good. Go through the third parak in Vayikra, and you're going to see that it goes from sheep to goat. And the reason why it has an entirely new parsha there for the goat is to tell me about the difference between the tail of the sheep versus the tail of the goat. Tail of the sheep goes up onto the mizbeach. Tail of the goat does not go up onto the mizbeach. Ika Damasni is where we're going to stop tomorrow. Yirtzeh Hashem, we start with the words. Ika Damasni. Let's quickly recap our daf today. We went over the questions of Rav Yosef. We know Pesach Abba B'Tumah, so there are allowances allowing people to go into the Azara in order to eat Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah. So one question, which really we tackled yesterday, was can they go into the Heichal now? So good. The Gemara left that question unresolved. Second question, which we started with today, can they eat the Imurim while being in a state of Tumah? Now, as I explained in detail, you're not allowed to eat the Imurim under any circumstance, but at least the question is, can the Imurim, are they going to be subject to Kares for eating Imurim while they're in a state of Tumah? And the Gemara's answer definitively is no. Once there's a heter for them to eat Basar, And the Isser Karis is lifted for the Basar. The Isser Karis is also going to be lifted for the Imurim as well, since the Imurim are generated from the same Pasuk. Where did they do the Haktaras Imurim in Pesach Mitzrayim? And the answer is they didn't. The Gemara entertains the idea, maybe they burnt it, but there was no Haktaras Imurim because there was no Mizbeach. What about the Hazah? What about the sprinkling? So the Gemara says, for that we did have a pseudo Mizbeach, and that's the lentil and the two doorposts. The Mishnah on Sadivav Amanav goes through the various similarities and differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. Really focuses on the differences. Pesach Mitzrayim, you must purchase and assign on the 10th day of Nisan. Pesach Mitzrayim requires the Hazah to be done with an Azov onto your lentil and to your two doorposts. And Pesach Mitzrayim has to be eaten in haste. So for these three halachas, is specific to Pesach Mitzrayim and does not transfer over to Pesach Doros. And then the Gemara goes through a slew of halachas that do apply to Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros, and the topics that we covered on the Amud Aleph, in which they're similar. Number one, the mitzvah of Shmira, the din of examination to make sure that it's a non-blemished animal, the idea that it's eaten at night, the idea that an Aral and Beinechar are to be excluded, the idea that Toshav Asachir are not automatically assigned to your Karban Pesach, the idea that the breaking of the bone, and the idea of partial roasting. So all those ideas are true both by Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros as well. The Gemara gave us a drasha for Chipazon, as now we turn to the Amud Beis in our review. And then the reading of the end of the Mishnah. The reading of the end of the Mishnah was really challenging, and the Gemara gave us a way of reading the end of the Mishnah, in that the end of the Mishnah is not talking about the Karban Pesach, but rather it's talking about Chametz. Chametz in Pesach Mitzrayim was for one day. Chametz for Pesach Doros is for all 7 days. The Isser Chametz, obviously. Okay, and then we started the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua had a Masor from his Rebbein. Tomorrow's Pesach is offered. Tomorrow's Pesach is not offered. What's going on over here? Rabbi Akiva says, I'll explain. And in a nutshell, what Rabbi Akiva explains is that if you lost your Karban Pesach, your A animal, you replaced it with a B animal, sometimes the A animal is going to be rejected. Sometimes the A animal is not going to be rejected, but just simply viewed as a Moser Shlamim. Moser Karban Pesach, which is to be offered as a Shlamim. And it depends on the critical moment. And that is, when did I find the B? If I found the B before the Shechitas, when did I find the A? Did I find the A before the Shechitas B? So then what we are looking at is over here is Dichui. It's now been rejected, and as a result of that, it can be offered. What do you do? The Mishnah told us what you do. Let it develop a blemish, then sell it. Proceeds are going to go to the purchase of another animal, which is going to be a shlamim. But the animal itself is rejected. If, on the other hand, I found the A animal after the shechita of the B, so now we're not looking at rejection, but adrab, it's just simply now going to be viewed as Moser Karban Pesach, which is offered as a shlamim. Then why is the Mishnah talking about Tamura when really Tamura is an additional point? The Gemara's comment is, you're right. Tamura is an additional point, but good. But the Gemara made the point of Tamura. Two things that we did in the Gemara and the Amud Beis. Number one, when's the critical moment? As I point out, simple reading of the Mishnah, critical moment is going to be the actual Shechita. Rabbi Zera says it's the Zmana Shechita. And the Gemara notes that in the Brisa that we have Tanaim actually arguing over these very points as well. And then the last thing that we cover today is what Rava wants to say is what he believes is a logical conclusion of the Mishnah, which is, I lost A, I replaced it with B, I find A after Shechita, I affected Tamura after Shechita, then and only then the Tamura is going to have the status of Moser Pesach. If, however, I found the A animal before Shechitas B, so now that it's rejected, even though I affected Tamura after Shechitas B, nevertheless, the Tamura is also going to be rejected because it's coming from Kedusha Dechuya. Good, that was Rava's point, and the Gemara defended Rava's point.